Welcome one and all to the show. I'm Jose Mota, Certified Executive Coach from the Center for Coaching Certification. I speak about cognitive skills like leadership, communication, teamwork, iterative and adaptive methodologies, emotional intelligence, and coaching. Visit www.josemota.net to get your free coaching call or email me at podcast@josemota.net. Enjoy the show. Top of the morning, as our fellow British say. How's it going, everybody? My throat's a little sore today, so bear with me as I go about what I have to share with you. I've talked about the Vic triangle before in episode 31. It stands for Visionary, Integrator, and Catalyst. Visionary and Integrator are concepts from Gene Wickman's book, Traction. He mentions an entrepreneurial operating system, or EOS for short. I definitely recommend the book if you're wanting to deepen your knowledge about how a system works, particularly systems of people, businesses. Really interesting take on how to run a business. I've picked on the visionary and integrator and added a third element, the catalyst. The question for you today is, how does it look like the Vic triangle in a product team? Product teams have lots of different people, managers, team members, developers, designers, testers, all of it. And some of these product teams actually have scrum masters if you use a scrum framework, or they might have an agile coach. I'm going to briefly explain what each of the three letters belongs to in a product team. The most obvious one is the product manager or product owner as the visionary. Notice that the product owner does not really have a say on how to do it, at least not specifically. They do collaborate with the team, which is the integrator, but most importantly, the visionary holds the why and what to do. Every activity that a product owner should have is to establish what to do. What is the highest value thing to do? That includes all sorts of different activities: market analysis, collaboration with marketing and sales, engaging with customers, understanding the market, understanding the product, understanding the vision and how it plays into the business. What are the opportunities out there that inform the decisions on what to do and why? That's the role of the product owner. The boundary is set from the moment you step from the vision to the execution. The moment you do, you connect with the integrator. And the integrator is not just a design lead or a tech lead, it's actually the whole team. At least that's my proposition. The whole team integrates the vision. Now, if the product owner is the visionary, the team is the integrator. They tell the product owner how they're going to do it. And it's not a matter of saying, oh, we're just going to do this because we want to. It needs to be also informed by best practices, by principle as well. The team should be held accountable for doing the absolute best it can do in the right way to match the vision, to incorporate, materialize the vision the right way, in a way that is scalable, effective, and efficient. The team actually provides constraints to the execution, and borderline, it might actually shape the vision itself. That's an extreme case, and this mostly informs the timeline at which we materialize the vision as a team rather than the opposite. There are some cases, however, that maybe for technological limitation, the vision might not be as quickly or as effective to be materialized, but those are rare cases. Most of the time, for a business to succeed, the vision is somewhat achievable or is realistically achievable, and technology enables that vision to be made a reality. There are constraints, though, and the team knows what those constraints are and makes room for improving over time. Now, notice that because the team holds the process of how to do certain things, that gives them a certain level of autonomy. Notice the word certain. It's not every bit of autonomy. It must be informed by the culture of the business and the culture of the product. Notice that before I'd mentioned that the vision could be informed by constraints, technological constraints. The same goes the other way. It's a two-way street. The team and their ways of working must also be informed by the culture of the product and the business. So far, we've covered the visionary and the integrator, the product owner and the team, respectively. What about the third letter? Where's the catalyst here? I mentioned a coach or a scrum master, and these are somewhat peculiar because most people will not agree when I say that a scrum master should be a play, mostly because there's a lot of backlash around doing scrum properly and adopting principles properly. When there's a culture of poor scrum implementation, people get frustrated because there's usually, this is just my interpretation or my perspective, scrum is adopted, at least just part of it. If we strip everything that's related to scrum but stick to what it's meant to be done, people actually appreciate. It's this thing about the law versus the spirit of the law. This is a concept that's prevalent in legal. When you do certain things because you're told, it's different from doing the things because you understand the effect of them. And Scrum is a typical scenario where this happens. People don't really like to hold daily Scrums, but they do like to get together as a team. And that's just one example. So moving to the main point, the catalyst is a very peculiar role because he or she is not meant to participate directly in the vision nor the execution. They stay out of it. This is very important, and I'll tell you why. When I became a coach a year ago, I understood the key principle of staying distant, of not having bias. There's always going to be some bias because you want to engage with the people that you're with and you want to take part of the success, you want to contribute to the success of the team and the product. And because you're a coach, your obligation is to stay out of it. That's your responsibility. If you're in it, you're influenced by the constraints, you're influenced by the decisions. Don't go in to the decision-making process. Just expose the truth. That is the ultimate responsibility of the catalyst. A good scrum master is a good coach, is a good mentor, is a good teacher. That means that you give others the tools, the values, the principles. You expose the truth. You augment the team's capabilities. You catalyze the team. You don't catalyze yourself. That's a whole different process. You catalyze the team. You augment, you develop them, not you. That informs the team with what they have to learn, with what they have to know, so that they can make better decisions. Both the team and the product owner, mind you, that's important to note. So you expose the truth, which leads the team to have what they have to know to make informed decisions. That's the whole point of the catalyst. It can be a scrum master. It can be a coach. It can actually be a middle of the line manager if you're having that sort of hierarchical structure in the company. The manager in that traditional structure should also be outside of the loop. If you expose the truth this way, your opinions don't matter. You just expose truth, not opinion. Very philosophical, I know. And the more you stick to this fundamental principle of exposing truth over opinion, the true process of catalyzation begins. Now, naturally, you can be exposed to subject matter. You can be a subject matter expert, but that only serves you to inform your exposure of the truth. That's all that matters. For instance, if I'm an Agile coach, I know Agile principles, I know Agile values, I know team dynamics, I know product management. But I don't make decisions as a product manager. I teach the product manager to make decisions. That's how important it is to be a subject matter expert, not to act as one. Now you might be asking, well, why such an emphasis on a catalyst? Why are you forcing this idea of having a third person? We don't need one. Well, you might be right. You might not need a specifically separate, distinct, distant coach. That's okay. You're free to do what you want. My argument is to expose the benefits of having such a distance from someone. A good catalyst proves its money worth. He or she exposes the truth, regardless of opinion, and empowers the team and the product manager with it. By doing that, you augment their chances of being more effective. When someone is biased into the decision-making process, doing actual work, they will have to make a decision on whether to make decisions or to expose the truth. When you're deep into the weeds, you lose sight of what matters. And to make good decisions, you need the truth. And the truth is broader than where you're at. Many times I've come across examples of teams and groups of people having to make a decision. They wanted to explore the situation, but they couldn't because they were in too deep. And as they dug out every bit of context, I, as a coach, reminded them or exposed the truth from my lens, which is a broader one, a wider one, a taller one, which led them to say, oh, actually, you're bringing a very fair point. And mind you, these are many people. One person will say something from one perspective. Some other person will say another thing about the same topic, but from a different perspective. The fact that I'm raising these two points of view at the same time, this automatically shifts the team's point of view in a whole different lens. They are brought out of their own perspective. Their brain automatically shifts. It's amazing how this happens, but it does happen. And it's a wonderful thing to witness. All of a sudden, they start saying stuff like, I didn't consider that. What if we take that approach? What happens instead? What can we do to match one expectation and the other at the same time? What are the possibilities of compromising? Is there a convergence happening? Is there a synergy? All of these things happen because you have a person that is solely responsible for exposing the truth. That's it. So to sum it up, a product manager acts as the visionary. They hold the truth about the vision. They know why and what to do, not how. They set the culture for the product, and they are naturally influenced by the business to make decisions. The team is the integrator. They pick up on the vision and materialize it. They know how to materialize it. They provide constraints to the execution, and they have their own autonomous ways of working, of managing themselves, and those ways of working are informed by culture, both the business and the product. Finally, the catalyst, regardless of what job title you want to attribute it, has the sole purpose of exposing the truth about the whole system, as distant as he or she can, to promote clarity, transparency, and empowers the team and visionary to make decisions. If a catalyst is good enough, he or she is going to prove their money worth, because sometimes a mistake due to lack of information can cost enough or even more than the catalyst's salary. Thanks for tuning in today. Stay tuned on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen from. Do you have a question for me to cover? Send it over to podcast@josimoda.net and I'll answer it. Talk to you soon. Make it a great one today.